that your story today, thank you, Janine, people are redeemable. Would you say that with me? People are redeemable. You're redeemable. Your family members are redeemable. We have seen people, and we see them sometimes with a fuzzy vision, and we aren't quite clear if they really are redeemable. And we need to see people the way God sees them. God envisions everyone in his forever future. And when we marginalize people, we damage the chances of them being redeemed. When we doubt people's redeemability, we restrict the flow of God's grace flowing through us over to them. Here's what we know. God pursues people by using us, by using people. God uses people to pursue people. When we pursue people, God's saving grace washes through us and flows over them. We're going to see how Boaz pursued Ruth and redeemed her. And the same steps that he took in pursuing Ruth, we can take. Boaz took steps to redeem Ruth. We, as God's people, can take those same steps. And those steps are, number one, pursue people with prayer. Number two, pursue people with a plan. Pursue people with a passion. Prayer, plan, passion. When we pursue people, we exponentially increase their chances for a forever future. Let me ask you, do you want your loved ones to be in heaven? Parents, right here, I would suspect that your salvation, your redemption, is secondary to your children's redemption. Am I right? Would not you rather have them in the kingdom than yourself? There is a desire deep in us for people to be in God's forever future. So, we must pursue people today like there's no tomorrow. So, okay, let's dive right into the scripture. This morning, chapter 4 of Ruth. Verses 1 to 12, and while you're pulling out your Bibles or firing up your Bible apps on your phones, I want to encourage you to do something. This is a little advertisement, a little sidebar here. I want to encourage you to take scripture, a verse or two or three, and soap that. Journal that using the SOAP process. You know what SOAP stands for? It's an acronym. S stands for? Scripture, writing scripture in your own words, that gets you down into a deeper level of that scripture. O stands for observations. Make some observations. What are some truths that are coming out of that portion of scripture? A is application. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is bringing the scripture into my life right here and right now. And P is prayer response. If you journal that, you will be amazed. I am continually amazed at how God speaks incredible insights into my life. And if you do that, it will transform your life. I guarantee it. So, soap. For me, I'm reading between the lines in this book, in this passage, in this section of the book of Ruth, and it seems to me that Boaz has been contemplating his marriage with Ruth. And being a God-fearing man that he was, I think we can safely assume that he prayed to God, to his Yahweh, for Ruth's hand in marriage. That's totally a conjecture on my part, but I think we can be pretty safe in making that assumption. Boaz pursued Ruth first with prayer. And that's the first step in pursuing people. Pray. Pursue people with prayer. As a senior theology major, I was called into one of my major professor's office. I really respected this man. He was a great thinker. And he called me in, sat me down, looked me in the eyes, and he said, Roy, we were having a come to Jesus meeting. He said, Roy, I have gotten the idea, I sense that it is hard for you to make a commitment. He said, well, sometimes you just have to go for it. You have to take a leap of faith. Just make a decision. He continued, now Susan is a woman of great beauty and character. You don't meet a girl like that every dynasty. He didn't actually say that, but that's from a line in Mulan, the movie Mulan. But that's what he meant. He continued, he said, and I want to encourage you to take a leap of faith. That conversation got my attention. And for the next 2 months, I got on my knees, literally, and I fervently prayed that God would give me direction, blessing, and power. This was beyond my ability. This was beyond Boaz's ability as he pursued Ruth with prayer. And he prayed. Praying for a person's salvation, for their redemption, is the first step in pursuing people. Let me ask you a serious question. How are you doing when it comes to praying for a person's redemption? This is beyond us. And we need God's power, direction, and blessing. We must partner with God, with Him, in pursuing people for their forever future. I think it would be an excellent idea for us to list people and to pray for them. Place them on a prayer list and begin to pray for those people. In your one and only life, pray for people. People that God has impressed, for whom He has impressed you with, to pursue and pray for their forever future. Dick Hansen, bless his heart, created a simple bookmark that you received in your bulletin as you came in for your convenience. And listed on there are some lines, 9 lines. Anybody need a bookmark? Raise your hand, deacons. There we go. Just raise your hand and get a bookmark. And right now, begin to fill out names of people that you want to pray for. It could be family members, should be family members on there, friends, co-workers, church members, anyone for whom God has placed a burden on your heart. Go ahead, write those names down. Remember this, no matter how impossible it may seem, people are redeemable. That's a biblical truth. People are redeemable. A couple weeks ago, Janice was at the church board meeting, and we were having a little devotional, and we were asking for prayer requests, and she raised her hand and she said, I have a prayer praise. Come on up here, Janice. You know Janice Effenberg? I landed in 1994, I landed in Placerville, and this woman taught me how to be a pastor. She was a church secretary, and right away I just bonded with her. Janice has a passion for God, and she has a passion for people. But her life hasn't been all roses and all smooth sailing. And she began to tell us an incredible story. And part of it is I know this story because I lived it with you in those Placerville days. So your son Carl graduated from high school. He was graduated from the 12th grade. And at that time, your husband, Charles, decided that he was no longer going to attend church.
Correct.
And the choice was made. It was left up for Carl to either go with you to church and be faithful at attending church or to stay home with his dad. What did he do?
He stayed home with his dad.
And that began a journey in his life where he withdrew
from the church.
From the church. Now, you come from a family that was incredible. Your mom and dad were awesome. Tell us a little bit about your dad.
Well, my dad was a real prayer warrior, and everybody in the family knew it. And if there was anything that was going on that they needed prayer for, they would talk to my dad, and he would pray. And he was a real inspiration. Both he and my mom, they were very close to the Lord, and they lived it.
In 2011,
he passed away. And a lot of our family members were not attending church, and I know that Dad was praying for them, my nephews and my nieces. And, of course, I was praying for my son, Carl, as well. But when he was when he passed away, I prayed to the Lord, and I said, what can I do to help my family keep focused on Jesus? Because a lot of them were attending church.
So what did God place impress you with?
He impressed me to type up devotionals for every day. And once a month, I would send these out to 31 of my family members.
How many?
31.
31.
Uh-huh. And I would write a letter.
And you put postage on that?
Yes.
We need to take up an offering.
And they received it quite well and enjoyed it. I did that for 3 years.
Three?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And one of my sisters who was attending church spasmodically is attending church regularly.
Okay.
And but most of us have been doing that in my siblings. I have one brother and three sisters. There's five of us.
So tell us a little bit about the little small group at the Shingle Springs Church.
Oh, well, the Shingle Springs Church was needing some help. They lost their head elder. He passed away. He was only 53. He had a heart attack. And being a small church, he did the clerk work. He did the secretary work. He would do a lot of the preaching because the preacher had three churches. So he'd be there maybe once a month. And they needed somebody who could do the computer. And the Shingle Springs Church is where I grew up. So it has a special place in my heart. And they were kind of talking about disbanding, but it's a special church.
Yeah.
And so I started helping. The conference allows me to be their church clerk.
Good.
And anyway, they had decided to have Bible studies in the park, and we were meeting in the park in the afternoon on Sabbath, and in October of that year, it started to rain, so I invited them to come to my son Carl's house, even though he wasn't attending church, because that's where I would stay when I'd go up to Placerville for the weekend.
And his girlfriend was very interested in what was going on and attended and got involved with
they
the little small
came,
group
they
Bible
both,
study.
Yeah, they both stayed for all of the Bible studies. And then the elder at the church decided to have the Bible study after potluck at the Shingle Springs Church. So that stopped that. But my other son and I, Charles Jr., we decided to continue by showing DVDs of Doug Batchelor, Walter Vyth, and Ira Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, his girlfriend was...
Carl's girlfriend, Chris.
Very interested.
Uh-huh.
And she we would have this after supper. We would show these after supper and every afternoon. She'd, what are we going to see tonight? You know, okay. She was very excited. And then 2 years ago on my birthday, I was having a birthday that weekend, they surprised me and they came to church.
They?
Chris and Carl, they came to church.
Okay.
And I said, boy, I need a birthday every week. They laughed about it, but they didn't come back. But she wanted to.
Okay.
But she wouldn't come without Carl. And Carl's very busy, very much in demand. He takes care of 800 computers at Sac State.
Okay.
He's an IT man there. And his friends and acquaintances keep him busy, doing things on the Sabbath.
So what happened after that?
Well, I kept praying.
Okay.
Every day. I've been praying for Carl since 1986. And then when she became involved in our family, I started praying for her because she was so interested and really wanted to come to church. And on January 4, a Friday night, she came and talked to me, and she said, Carl and I have decided we are going to attend church on a regular basis from now on.
And they have.
And they have.
Would you say prayer works?
I do. It may take a while, but I could see God working, you know, all along.
86 to 9.
33 years.
33 years.
He does answer prayers.
Amen.
In a mighty way.
So you pursued your son with prayer.
Yes.
Thank you, Janice. Isn't that great? So what are we going to do? We're going to pursue people with prayer. Today, like there's no tomorrow. That's step one. Step two, pursue people with a plan. Boaz had a carefully created and clear plan in his pursuit of Ruth. The very next morning, he went to the city gate, gathered 10 leaders. This deal was not going to be disputable. It was going to be signed, sealed, and delivered, and he made it happen. The deal was going to be done. He waited for Mr. Close Relative to come walking by, and he did. And Boaz was strategic, timely, and purposeful. He was ready to do the deal now as opposed to later. After I graduated from Walla Walla College, I began my ministry at the church, the Riverview Seventh-day Adventist Church in Pasco, Washington. This was the summer of 1978. I desperately needed reliable transportation. It just so happened that one of the church members had a car dealer's license and took me to the local car auction. We picked out a brand new black Chevy Malibu with a Landau top coupe with 6,000 miles on it. It was my first car. I was earning a salary. Thank you, Jesus. And I purchased that car. This was a Friday. The next day I preached at the church. And right after church, as soon as I could get away, I drove home, changed my clothes into a white t-shirt and blue cutoff jeans, grabbed a little lunch, threw some overnight stuff in a bag, and off I went, headed south. I went south. I had a plan. I was putting that plan into action, into place. There was no time to waste, no room for hesitation or contemplation. The time to act was now. 4.5 hours down the road was Big Lake Youth Camp. At Big Lake Youth Camp, there was a special person that I was pursuing. And so I was on my way. I was executing the plan. This person I desperately wanted to be with and to see. Now, let me ask you, do you have a plan? When it comes to pursuing people, do you have a plan for that person? Pursuing people requires a connection with them. You have to spend time with them. You got to get connected with them. How are some ways that we connect with people? texting, Facebook, birthday cards, phone calls. How about face-to-face? Spending time with them, sharing a meal, serving them, planning some fun things to do together. Pursuing people requires that we know them, their interests, their hobbies, their love language. Do you have a plan? Are you executing that plan? Janice had a plan. She put that plan into practice. God uses us when we have a plan to increase the redeemability, the chances for redemption of other people. Do you have a plan? Write some ideas down in the spaces provided on your bookmark. I want you to take those bookmarks home, if you would. Do you have a plan? Pray for a plan if you don't have a plan. That's step two. Step three, pursue people with a passion today like there's no tomorrow. We must pray for a passion to execute the plan. Boaz showed his passion for Ruth. He declared with the whole town as witnesses that if the close relative did not want to do it, he would do it, and that he would do it now. His passion for Ruth drove his resolve to get the girl, to put a ring on it. Nothing was going to get in his way. When it comes to pursuing people, how is your level of passion for their redemption? How would you rate yourself? Would you rate yourself as radical? Do you see yourself as a fanatic? My son Jonathan is known in his company as a Jesus freak. Are you out there in your passion for people? Do people consider you a fanatic when it comes to loving people? Boaz was way out on the limb. We should have a totally in, bet the farm, all in kind of passion for people. Let me ask you, how do you ramp up your passion for people? If you are kind of laissez-faire about pursuing people, what can you do? Pray. Pray for passion. Pray for God's heart for people. Pray that God will give you eyes to see people the way He sees them. There is not one person, not one individual that Jesus has not died for. What does it say? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent His Son into the world, not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Pray for passion in pursuing people. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't exactly staying under the speed limit on my way to Big Lake Youth Camp. Passion was pushing hard on the gas pedal. I wanted to get to the girl, and I wanted to get there sooner rather than later. I know. I was feeling guilty a little. But that brand new car was just cruising down the road, Highway 97, effortlessly. About 2.5 hours into the trip, I came over a rise, and stretched out before me was this beautiful little valley. At the bottom of the valley, there was a state trooper stopped and ticketing a northbound driver. I pushed hard on the brake to get to the recommended speed limit, hoping that I had done it so in time. I drove past, went up over the rise and out of sight, and that car just accelerated back to cruising altitude. I was flying low. Well, about 15 minutes later, I happened to look in my rearview mirror, and what I saw made my heart pound in my chest. Red flashing lights were coming up fast. So I stepped on the brake pedal and pulled over. That same state trooper briskly walked to my rolled down window with veins bulging in his neck, face reddened, head shaved. He looked like a Marine sergeant. He informed me that he had been trying to catch up with me for the last 15 minutes. He was so angry, I thought that he was literally going to pull me out of the window, through the window, and beat me up with his billy club. Seriously. He told me that he was going to throw me in jail and throw away the key. He commanded to tell me what the blank I was trying to do. Meekly, I explained, I had just come from church. That I was a pastor intern, and that I was pursuing a special person. He gruffly told me to stay put, went back to his patrol car, got on his radio, and I began to pray. I said, God, I'm in a fix here. Please help me not to go to jail, lose my brand new car, get beat up, not make it to Big Lake Youth Camp. Please, Lord, I need your help. Well, it seemed like an eternity went by, but 15 minutes later, the same trooper came back to my rolled-down window, a completely different person. He had a calm demeanor about him, and he was even kind. Unbeknownst to me, it's against the law to drive a car across state lines with dealer plates. Initially, he had thought that I had stolen the car in Washington State and was driving somewhere with that car. He reprimanded me for driving above the speed limit, especially since I was a pastor. He said, you of all people should know better. I readily agreed. He wrote me a ticket for incorrect plates, took the license plate off, and sent me on my way. When we pursue people today like there's no tomorrow, we will always run into problems. My problem was the state trooper. Boaz's problem was the other relative. Now listen, the level of passion that we have determines our success in pushing past the inevitable problems in our pursuit of people. Here's what we know. Passion drives the plan. Passion drives the plan. When I arrived at Big Lake Youth Camp, I got there just in time for sundown Vespers campfire program. I scanned the audience looking for that special person. I found her, our eyes met, and the delight in her face, her surprised look, made that pursuit, made that plan all worth the while. 6 months later, I took Susan back to Big Lake Youth Camp in that same car and asked her if she would marry me. She said, yes. Here's what we know. Amen is right. People are redeemable. I was redeemed through that experience. Every person within our sphere of influence is worth redeeming. When we pursue people today like there's no tomorrow, we exponentially increase their chances for a forever future. We cannot be laissez-faire about people and diminish their chances for redemption. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for a plan, and we're going to pray for passion to put that plan into action. We want to keep it like it is means everything. We want to keep at it today like there's no tomorrow. Are you with me? Now, there may be some of you here today who are facing incredible obstacles, huge losses, tough relationships, financial stress. Maybe you've gotten a medical report that just is rocking your world. And from your perspective, it seems like there's no way out, no answers, no relief, no way in sight. This story tells us that we have a God, and He is a good God. He's a God that never changes. He's the same God today as He was back in the day of Ruth and Naomi. I want you to hear this. He has His hand in your redemption, just like He had His hand in their redemption. He has a hand in your redemption. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. You are redeemable. You are redeemed. He has set you free. But are you available? Are you all in? Have you stopped fighting a fight that's already been won? You are redeemed. Listen to these words.
Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. No, I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed. Thank God I'm redeemed.
That's the truth. You are redeemed. Ruth and Boaz, down the line, came the Redeemer, and it all happened in Bethlehem. You are redeemed, and God uses us to redeem others. Are you in? Are you all in? All we have to do is pray. Pray. Pray for people. Pray for a plan. Pray for passion to put that plan into place. Let's pray. Forgive us, Father, for being fuzzy about our redemption, about how you have redeemed us. You have done everything that needs to be done for us to have a forever future. Help us to get crystal clear on that and to be all in that. And then, God, use us in powerful ways to make a difference, a forever future difference in other people's lives, starting with our family, our children, our brothers and sisters, church members, neighbors, co-workers, loved ones. Use us to redeem, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to stay for a wonderful postlude, I encourage you to do that. If you leave and after the postlude, greet one another and say to them, you're redeemed. Carl, you are redeemed. Have a great Sabbath and a wonderful week. See you next.